Our focal passage this morning is Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. I encourage you to turn there. You ready to read that with me? So you can read for yourself what God has to say to you this morning. We've been taking a look at how we can make Christmas a little bit more simple. Christmas has a tendency to get complicated and busy and overwhelming. What are the basics of Christmas? What can we boil it down to? What are the essential elements of Christmas? We took a look at simple worship. That Christmas is really all about worshiping Jesus. We took a look that Christmas is all about obedience. How everyone in the Christmas story simply obeyed. Then last week we took a look about simply trusting who Jesus is, the promises that God has given us. And if we will simply trust Him, He will take care of our tomorrow. As I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking about our live nativity. In 1 year, I think it was the second year we had it, I was still in charge of organizing it. I'm so thankful for Jake taking that over, and he's done a fantastic job the last 2 years. But everything was in place. We had the sets were built. The hot chocolate was brewed and ready to be served. The traffic team was in place. The actors were all in costume and out at their positions. Everything was ready to go. Then I realized baby Jesus was missing out of the manger. Suddenly went into panic mode, and I had Mary run into the children's building and find a replacement for baby Jesus. Luckily, she found one. We were able to get it all wrapped up and ready to go before those first cars came through. But it begs the question, can you have a live nativity without baby Jesus? I would argue no. And it begs the same question, can you have Christmas without Jesus? And then it also begs the next question, would Jesus be enough if everything else that you associate with Christmas was gone? Let's say you can't have Christmas with your family, or maybe you won't get any gifts this year. Suppose there's no shopping or decorating or sending out cards or going to parties, having a big meal, would it still be Christmas for you? It was for Mary and Joseph. They didn't have family around them at Christmas. They didn't have a big meal planned. They didn't go shopping or wrap presents. They didn't decorate. They didn't have parties to attend. They didn't send out Christmas cards or receive any. Those things had yet not been associated with Christmas or become the essence of Christmas. Christmas for Mary and Joseph, simply Jesus. Many of the things we do at Christmas are fun. Things we associate, make part of Christmas, are enjoyable. Our traditions are meaningful. But have all those things become Christmas for us? Have we forgotten that real Christmas is simply Jesus? Could our present celebration of Christmas actually go on apart from Jesus? For many, it does. To give you an example, the country of Turkey, they observe the Christmas holiday. Turkey is officially classified as a secular country, meaning that religion plays no role in its government. However, 99% the population of Turkey is Muslim. They do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Yet in Turkey, the celebration of Christmas is huge. But their celebration of Christmas is not about Jesus. It's not centered on Jesus Christ, but on Santa Claus, family gathering, gifts, and feasting. It is not a religious holiday, though oddly, the stores are filled with symbols such as angels and stars. Could it be the same for us? Christmas without Jesus? In Turkey, Christmas is about a lot of things, but not Jesus. We don't have to look far off, do we, to find that reality. Even in our own society, many here celebrate Christmas, and for them, it's not about Jesus. It certainly wasn't like that the first Christmas. It was simply about Jesus. It was about the birth of a particular person. It was about God breaking into human history in human flesh. It was about Emmanuel. It was about the birth of the one who is divine, human, righteous, qualified to forgive, qualified to redeem, qualified to adopt us as sons and daughters. Galatians 4, 4 through 5 shows this. Paul writes, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." God in the flesh has no competitors. Christmas is simply Jesus. Zechariah knew that Christmas was simply about Jesus. In Luke 1:76, Zechariah himself wrote, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways." Mary knew that Christmas was simply about Jesus, for the angel spoke to her in Luke 1:31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus." Joseph knew that Christmas was simply about Jesus. The angel proclaimed to him, Angel 1:21, Matthew 1:21, "She will bear a son. You will call His name Jesus. He will save people from their sins." Gabriel, the archangel, knew that Christmas was simply about Jesus. And so did the heavenly host that joined him when they spoke to the shepherds. In Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." As a result of the angel's message, the shepherds knew that Christmas was simply about Jesus. Simeon knew. Luke 2:26. He writes, "And it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he's seen the Lord's Christ." The wise men knew that Christmas was simply Jesus. Matthew 2:2 says, "Where is he who's been born King of the Jews? For we saw the star when it rose and have come to worship him." King Herod knew that Christmas was simply about Jesus. Matthew 2:3-4. "When Herod was the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." Consider this. Satan himself knew that Christmas was simply about Jesus. And Satan sought to destroy Jesus. We see the account of that and the understanding of that. Revelation 12, verses 4 through 5. Revelation 12, it describes the Christmas story. It says, "And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God, to His throne." Then the last person we're going to look at this morning who knew that Christmas was all about Jesus is the great prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, before all the characters of the Christmas story, knew that Christmas would simply be about Jesus. We see what he wrote in Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read verses 6 through 7. Will you stand? Let's honor God's word as we read. Isaiah 9. Verse 6 through 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do. Thank you. You may be seated.
Coming in. We apologize, folks. For some reason, his mic is not wanting to cooperate with us. So,
in this passage, I want to spend a little time focusing on why Jesus is the only thing that we need for Christmas. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 says, Jesus is King. Jesus is King. It says that the government shall be upon His shoulders. That means He's destined to exercise supreme rule over the universe and certainly all the nations here on the earth. There's a term there, whenever it says that the nations will be on His shoulders, that the nomadic Israelites would know exactly what was being talked about there. For shepherds, when a sheep was lost, they would go seek out that sheep. And when the sheep, they found that sheep, and if it was cast or over on its side or on its back, or if it was injured or whatever was taking place, that shepherd would scoop up that sheep, place that sheep on his shoulders, and carry that sheep back where it belonged, and placed it where it belonged. Do you see the picture of what Jesus Christ will one day do? Many nations have gone far from God, far from recognizing that Jesus is Lord. And one day Jesus will go and He'll pick up those nations, those people who've gone far from God, place them on His shoulders, and return them to where they belong. Jesus is King. But we also see that He is Wonderful Counselor. Wonder connotates wonder and mystery, of course. That we can't comprehend Him fully. He's beyond our full understanding. The word counselor communicates wise and true direction. You see, Jesus communicates God's truth and His will and His word to us. He's actually called the Word. The Word is a communication of God. Jesus is how we know God and His will. He is the ultimate counselor. He's always there to guide us if we'll let Him. And He's always there to show the will of the Father and what we are to be about and what we are to do with our lives and the direction He wants all to go. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. I don't know about your situation when you were in high school, but I would go down to the counselor and they would be all wrapped up in statistical tests that they had to give people and all kinds of assessment tests, and they never seemed available. I would hardly use the word Wonderful Counselor to describe my high school or middle school counselor. They were just too busy to give counsel to me for the things that I might have needed. That is never the case for Jesus Christ. He earns His title, Wonderful Counselor. It also says that Jesus is Mighty God. Jesus is fully God here on earth, all-powerful, completely victorious, warrior, complete in His victory over His enemies. Jesus is the Mighty God. It also says that Jesus is the Everlasting Father. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus is the Father. We know that we have the Trinity, the three aspects, the Heavenly Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. So what is that saying? Well, this should be more adequately translated, Father of Eternity. Father of Eternity. He's the one who entrusts us to eternity. He will be on the throne for eternity. The everlasting part shows us of his constant care for his people, not just for a period of time. He doesn't leave and come back. He's not like a father who leaves a family or may not provide child support or may not be available to his children. No, Jesus is forever present, forever engaged, forever about the business of fathering us, showing us love. He's never too busy. He's never too far. He's never too consumed with work, never selfish. He's ever present, ever engaged, ever compassionate. The Father that we need, the Father we desire. He is our everlasting Father. It says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The angels proclaim in Luke 2, they proclaim him as Prince of Peace. Prince is the son of a king. Peace is only found in salvation through Jesus Christ. John 14, 27, Jesus says this about himself, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You see, we cannot find peace in our government. We can't find peace through armies or the military. Our military can never be big enough to provide peace in this world. We can never amass enough bombs to keep peace in place. Unfortunately, there'll never be peace in the Middle East until Jesus comes again for us. There'll never be a time when our nation is not engaged in some sort of conflict with other nations until Jesus comes again. We'll never find peace in our homes, in our marriages, or even in our Christmas seasons without Christ. We'll never find peace in ourselves. Even though there's thousands of authors who've written thousands, if not millions of books about finding inner peace, it simply is not there. It is only found in the Prince of Peace, who came to die on the cross for you and for me, so we might be set right with God Himself, so we might find peace, a peace that will last for all eternity. Verse 7 says that Jesus reigns on David's throne. Is there going to be a throne in heaven? Jesus will be sitting on it, and behind it will say, "David's throne." What does it mean by that? It says it's a reminder that God made a covenant with David, that one of David's descendants would sit on the throne forever. It is a continuation of the promise that God made to Abraham, that God would bless the whole world through Abraham's descendants. What is this saying? It's saying that God is keeping his promise. It would be fulfilled with the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. My friends, right now, Jesus sits at the right-hand side of God the Father, and he is on his throne. Jesus will come again as promised, and when he does, he'll take us to where he is, and Jesus will take his throne, the throne of David, and he will rule forever. So do you see why Christmas is simply Jesus? When we see Christmas as simply Jesus, it can make a difference in our lives. First, it can make a difference in our attitude. Think about it. Mary dealt with gossip, endured the journey, handled the filthy stable, accepted that that was not ideal for the birth of her son. Why? Because she knew that Christmas was simply about Jesus, the Messiah of the world, coming to earth. Joseph dealt with the disruption of his life, accepted the sudden and heavy responsibility. He was willing to go to Egypt because he knew that Christmas was simply about Jesus. They had reason to go even though it was tough. They didn't become bitter or resentful. Simply Jesus made the difference. The same can be true for us. Tough times don't go away at Christmas, do they? Sickness still comes at Christmas time. Death still interrupts at Christmas time. Job loss happens at Christmas. But that's when Jesus and having Him makes all the difference. Second, it can make a difference in our perspective. If we understand that Christmas is really about Jesus, then when things that we associate with Christmas change or are missing, Christmas can still be Christmas. Have you ever made that statement? Oh, it just doesn't feel like Christmas without so-and-so, or without this certain activity, or a certain food, or a certain meal, or a certain gathering. Here's reality. Your family circumstances will change. Your children will probably get married at some time, and they'll have to go to their spouse's families on Christmas instead of your house. Or they might live too far away to be with you on Christmas. Family circumstances are always changing, and that affects how we celebrate. For many, that can be devastating because it's always been a certain way. Or have you ever had a family member get upset because you can't celebrate with them on Christmas Day or on Christmas Eve? We've struggled with that in our family. Many families have these struggles. And it's all because our perspective is wrong. And our perspective isn't usually just wrong about when and who we celebrate with, but there's other things we cling to as well. It might come to a point someday where you can't fix a big meal and enjoy it. Time will come someday when you're physically no longer able to decorate. Maybe you resort to just putting a picture of a Christmas tree taped to your wall. There may come a time when we can't afford to buy and give gifts. But none of those factor changes the fact that really Christmas is about a Savior who came for us. And it can make a difference in our enjoyment. Think about it. What wears us out or frustrates us as Christmas are all the things associated with Christmas. The shopping, the cooking, the decorating, the wrapping, the traffic. But do you know what is never a stress at Christmas time? Jesus Christ. He is only the source of life, peace, joy, release, the cure for weariness. Understanding that Christmas is simply Jesus can make a difference for our enjoyment of Christmas. What would happen if we were truly to grasp the truth that Christmas is simply Jesus? That He's all we need. Because He's our King. He's all we need because He's our wonderful Counselor. He's all we need because He is our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace, and He's sitting on the throne right now. We would realize that everything else is secondary. Everything else is just fluff. Everything else really doesn't matter that much. And when we can do that, it'll be a blessing to us. And when we have those things, we can celebrate them. We can recognize them as blessings from God. We can thank God for those blessings, for family, for good food, for gifts, and for friends. But we know that it is not those things that make Christmas. It's Christmas because of Jesus and what He did for us and who He is. And that will cause us to simply worship Him. That will cause us to simply obey Him. That will cause us to simply trust Him because He's trustworthy. And we can truly experience Christmas. It's my prayer for you. As you celebrate with your family and friends this week, as you're disappointed by how things may not be as they were in the past, as conflicts might arise as your family gathers, as obstacles come in the way of you doing the things that you might normally do, may you be reminded That Christmas is simply about Jesus. And we have in Him all that we need to celebrate, to be thankful, to be grateful, to sit in His love of who He is and what He's done. That is my prayer for you. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that all those characters in the Christmas story knew that Christmas was simply about You. Lord, forgive us when we have forgotten that simple fact. Lord, I pray that each of our Christmases are filled with all the many blessings of family and friends and gatherings and good food and that all comes along with it. But it's my prayer that we will take a moment, take some time to focus on You and who You are and what You've done and the salvation that You give us and what You did on the cross and what the empty tomb means to us. And that we will celebrate with all that we are, knowing that Christmas is simply Jesus.